Hello and welcome back to the MRX Lab podcast, the show from FlexMR, where this year we've been investigating the big questions in market research and insight and how your team can make a difference in today's challenging environment. I'm thrilled for this episode to be joined by Phil Sutton, Managing Partner of Next Intelligence Inca. Phil, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Chris. Yes, very, very good to be here today. Thank you.
It's great to have you. And before we get started, because I have a bunch of questions about AI to ask you, but before we get stuck into that, do you mind sharing a bit about your background and what you do at Next Intelligence Inca with our audience?
Yeah, of course. I've been around a long time. I think, what are we now? 31 years working in market research. But the bulk of that time actually in various parts of Kantar. I was there for more than 25 years. I, including spending a bit of time, actually spent 3 years where you are actually now in Tokyo, fairly early in my career. After that, I came back to the UK. I did various roles. I worked a lot in FMCG sector, innovation, new product development. I ran the marketing science team for a while. I was a global account director for the PepsiCo account at one stage. And then when Kantar bought TNS, I was the MD of the consumer goods team, which was a 100-person, £30 million business at the time. And then I moved more into expertise roles. So I was responsible in the UK for research methodology and expertise, and that kind of developed more into research innovation as more and more kind of technology came into market research. And I suppose that led to me to setting up by myself a few years back. I set up my own consultancy where I kind of saw the trend towards obviously more and more research technology and clients kind of thinking about how to adopt it and take some of it in-house. So, you know, I started to kind of set up a business to really kind of help clients on that journey. And it was whilst I was doing that, actually, that I came across Next Intelligence Inca. So I actually kind of used our capabilities first as a client. I was working with a retailer who... They were doing some early stage brand repositioning work, and they had different positioning territories fairly early stage, as I say, to test and evaluate. And they wanted to know which route to follow, but because it was early stage, they wanted a lot of more qualitative insight about what was working, what wasn't working, how do we improve them. But as is often the case, there wasn't very much time, there wasn't a huge amount of budget. And I was thinking, well, there must be something out there where I can kind of get the robustness of which route do we pursue with, but also that kind of more qualitative understanding of what works and how to improve. And that's when I came across Inca. And it's essentially, you know, what Inca does is it uses chatbot technology to deliver much more insight from open-ended data at scale. So it probes the answers people give to open-ended questions. It uses gamification and visual technology to deploy projective techniques at scale. And again, with probing, we can do things like laddering on those projective techniques. So I actually used Inca on behalf of that client, and it went really well. I then started talking with Kathy, who's the founder and our CEO, about how we could partner further. And, you know, at one stage that down the road, Kathy just said, well, what I really need is a business partner. So, you know, I ended up taking a little stake in the business, and gosh, what, 21 months ago, I joined as managing partner. And it's been a whirlwind journey since then. It's been, you know, incredibly busy, particularly, you know, over the last year, pretty much a year now since ChatGPT came out. So kind of all of the interest in generative AI has been great for us. It's meant we've been extremely busy, but it's been quite a ride. It's, I've really been enjoying it.
Yeah, it's such an interesting story that you were a user first and now... behind the scenes. I imagine that's been really exciting as well, to help kind of develop something that you enjoyed using first and foremost.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I've always been kind of curious. I mean, that's one of the great things about working in market research, but curious about the methods we use and how we can improve them. And, you know, kind of technology has given us, you know, great opportunities to do things better. And I think none more so than generative AI. I mean, sure, we'll talk about it, but I think it's truly transformational. So actually, for me to be in a small entrepreneurial kind of more of a startup environment, kind of using that technology, but for market research, which is what I know and kind of love, it's been great. It's really exciting.
And I want to ask you specifically about what the opportunities are for market researchers using generative AI, but maybe just quickly before that, how do you define generative AI and you know, that label generative? What makes that different to the broader sphere of AI at the moment?
Well, I mean, I think it's really the ability through large language models to be able to use the technology, use the AI to actually really, you know, I mean, and specifically, I mean, I'll kind of focus more on market research. So obviously, there's many applications of generative AI, but to allow us to get real human understanding, so to hear the consumer in their own voice at scale for the first time, I think really ever, to the generative nature of it means we can not just understand, but we can ask, but also because then of the analytical kind of capabilities, not only can we generate huge amounts of unstructured data, we can very rapidly analyze it, which obviously, you know, that's always been a challenge. It's great to get unstructured data, and lots of companies have a lot of unstructured data, but they don't necessarily kind of do too much with it because historically it's been very difficult to synthesize and analyze, but we can do that now and we can do that at speed. So, you know, really, I think for the first time, companies are really able to make use of that kind of rich corpus of unstructured data and kind of understand their consumers better.
And so is that the core opportunity for researchers, that generative AI is really opening up the ability to, I guess, dig into, you know, that data which already exists and new data that's that we're able to access through these kind of chatbot tools?
Yes, it is, but it's kind of right through the process. So, you know, it's the industry or some people within the industry, you know, are already, you know, using it a lot and have been over the last year, right through the research process. So, you know, GPT, large language models, are being used a lot for things like hypothesis generation, to be able to, I don't know, whatever the question is, if you want to understand what are the barriers to people using electric cars or the barriers to people eating plant-based food, you know, you can put your query into ChatGPT and it'll come back with kind of 10 really good kind of hypotheses almost immediately. And yes, you probably could have thought those yourself as a good researcher, but it would have taken a while, and you would have probably needed spoken to some consumers to kind of help with that as well. But, you know, they're there immediately, and, you know, as I say, right through the process. You know, you can use it to help with proposal writing, you can use it for research design, get inspiration for survey content, for discussion guides, even to you know, people who are using it to write their questionnaires for them. And then, as I say, once you've got all your data for analysis and summarization and synthesis and coding, and then after that for knowledge management, I mean, there's some really powerful tools emerging where, you know, we now have the ability, or companies have the ability, to get all of their information in one place and use natural language queries. You know, so I don't know if your bank, for example, and maybe you're a challenger bank, and you know, maybe you're a traditional bank, and you want to know why your younger people are moving away from your bank to a challenger bank. You can simply enter that as a query in your knowledge management system, and it will synthesize all of the data you have, and increasingly not just the data you have, but combining that with, you know, large language models, and come back with, you know, a lot of insight immediately, in an easily digestible format. So, you know, it's really powerful right through the research process.
One of the points you made there, which I think is really important, is, I guess, the efficiency, the productivity. You know, we're seeing a lot of research teams having to do more with less, kind of being really pressured for time and output. And yeah, I guess that ability to just save time in all of these different parts of the research process is really valuable.
Yeah, absolutely. But I also think, you know, and that's where a lot of the usage today of generative AI has been. But I think what makes it really transformational. So you know, I think generative AI is certainly kind of market research the biggest change since the industry went online in the early noughties. But I actually think it's more transformational than that, because, you know, if I look over the last 10 years or so and the emergence of research technology, the mantra has been quicker, cheaper, faster. But I think actually it's mostly been about quicker and cheaper. It's been about productivity gain. It's been about efficiency. And I've not seen a huge amount of better. And in some cases, the quicker and cheaper has come at the cost of quality. But I think generative AI kind of changes that, and that's why it's transformational. We can now deliver better as well, because it enables us to get a really deep understanding of people in a way that we couldn't get before.
And what are some other things, in your opinion, that I guess are particularly exciting or unique about the technologies?
A few things. I think first and foremost, and you know, certainly this is very much where we're coming from as a business, is it allows us to reimagine research. So, you know, we've always kind of approached research as, if we want to know facts, if we want robustness, if we want a fairly high degree of certainty, we use quantitative research. If we want to dig deeper, if we really want to understand more about emotion, about needs, it's about motivations, we use qualitative research. And, you know, generative AI changes all that, because we can now do research that isn't qual or quant, but it's actually both. And, you know, paradoxically, actually, that the AI then makes research more human, because we can, you know, we can understand humans better by providing deep insight about them in their own words at scale. And that, for me, you know, is the most exciting thing. That's what makes it really transformational. But I think beyond that, you know, it enables, you know, people, researchers, to do so many new things. So you know, increasingly researchers are going to be able to, for example, in analytical systems, they're going to be able to enter a natural language query, such as, you know, tell me what are the drivers of why people choose my brand rather than the competitor. I mean, that's an analysis historically which would take a marketing science team hours, if not days, but increasingly researchers can be able to enter that in natural language and get the answer straight away, because, you know, behind the scenes, all of the analysis will be going on in real time. And I think, you know, the other exciting thing for me is, I mean, a lot of people, you know, and for some valid reasons, are very threatened by AI and generative AI. And certain tasks and jobs are definitely going away, but new opportunities emerge. And I think one of the things that, you know, as an industry, market researchers kind of often complained about is not having enough of a strategic voice. And I think, you know, some of the weaknesses of generative AI, conversely, are things that a really good researcher does well. So I think if you put a good researcher and generative AI in tandem, you have something that's incredibly powerful. So for example, I talk about the four C's. Connection, creativity, critical thinking, communication. And to a certain extent, those are all things that generative AI isn't great at, but a good researcher is really good at. So in terms of, you know, connection, we can prompt and we can train generative AI to show some empathy, but clearly machines aren't naturally empathetic. A good researcher is. So if we can have a good researcher in tandem with the generative AI, it really helps get a deeper understanding of emotion, of needs. In terms of creativity, you know, the ability of a research, you know, an intelligent human, a good researcher, to think outside the box and come up with innovative solutions to new problems. If you harness that on top of all of the, you know, the huge knowledge and computational power of AI, that's really powerful. And in terms of critical thinking, good decision making requires a mixture of data insight, where AI excels, with the contextual experience and intuition, where humans excel. And, you know, finally, communication. You know, having good insight is one thing, but having organizations take action off that insight requires really powerful storytelling and communication skills. So you know, all of those things are, you know, skills of a good researcher. So, you know, that's why I think actually it provides a lot of opportunity if researchers use it in the right way. It provides, yeah, kind of really new opportunities for them and allows, I would expect, a more kind of strategic, a more strategic importance to the work that researchers do.
Yeah, that reminds me a lot of something which I heard at SMR as well earlier this year, that really the job of research of insight teams is, you know, increasingly less the data collection, the, the manual labor, the things which can be automated, and where the need for good researchers, good strategists is in formulating the right questions to ask in the first place.
Yeah.
Formulating the ways that we're going to apply those answers in the business and, you know, kind of not outsourcing, but supplementing the connection between those two with good technology.
Yeah, no, that's absolutely right. And you know, and I think that's, you know, it's difficult for some because, you know, that's they've been kind of used to doing a lot of more operational aspects, and there's a certain, you know, some people are going to need to move quite far out of their comfort zones to kind of excel in the new world. But the people who I think, you know, have the curiosity to really want to be less focused on process and more focused on how we get to good insight and what it means and the actions we should take, you know, there are tremendous opportunities.
And have there been any surprises for you in kind of the last couple of years in building an AI business?
Yeah, I mean, I suppose it shouldn't really have surprised me, but you know, as someone who's kind of never worked in a startup environment and never worked previously in a, you know, in really a kind of a technology-led business, just the pace of change has taken me back a little bit. And, you know, particularly over the last year with generative AI, it's like, you know, as soon as our kind of dev team have built something, we're on to V2 almost immediately because of the pace of change, which is, you know, it's exciting, but it obviously kind of operationally it's a challenge as well. So I guess that's one thing that's kind of personally has been kind of somewhat surprising. I think the other things that maybe not surprising, but kind of a bit disappointing. So, you know, when I look at generative AI and a lot of the questions we get asked, I think, you know, a lot of it, and, you know, and I do see the reasons, you know, and people are wary about using generative AI, but a lot of the questions are around them and their business, and, you know, data security, is my data going to be safe? privacy? Is it following kind of, you know, regulations in place? Are we going to get in trouble? Are there going to be compliance issues? And I get it. That's all really important, particularly if you're in a bigger company. Mm. But I think what those questions lack is a focus on the participant. And for me, you know, that's really important. I mean, we as a business, we're all about kind of putting the human at the center and creating better experiences for research participants. And, you know, they're our most valuable resource. Without research participants and data subjects, we've got nothing as an industry. And I know probably with you, because I'm kind of preaching to the choir a little bit, because I know at FlexMR, this is, you know, you talk about this a lot as well. But I think you're kind of a notable exception in that regard. So I think, yeah, one thing I'd like to see is a much more kind of strong focus on how we use technology to both kind of respect the rights of the individual, but also kind of give them a really good experience in the research process.
Right. So yeah, no, I completely get that. The idea that, you know, sometimes the organizational barriers are getting in the way of what could be much better for participants, for the people you want to talk to, and we're delivering them a worse experience because of the red tape, for lack of a better way of putting it.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's really interesting. And I guess that kind of brings me on to one of my other questions, which is around, there's very heated debate about the role of AI in mm-hmm. research, I think. And we do see quite a bit of criticism of just the general concept, I think. What's your message to the critics of AI in market research?
I think at first you say, get your heads out of the sand, because, you know, it's not going away. It's only going to get bigger and more powerful. I think there's an element of kind of look in the mirror as well. Once you've got your head out of the sand, look in the mirror, because, you know, it's not like everything's perfect about what hitherto has happened in market research. You know, there are kind of a number of issues out there that meant kind of, you know, previous approaches are also less than perfect. And I think, you know, beyond that, yeah, look at the issues. Yes. I mean, yeah, there are a number of things to be concerned about with generative AI, and we do need to have the right frameworks in place. We need to have this sort of right oversight in place. It's really important to kind of have the human in the loop in terms of the oversight and management of the generative AI systems. And there are some people that, you know, the good thing is that there's starting to be some really good work about that. You know, for example, I'm part of an SMR initiative, which is in the coming weeks going to be, there's been a lot of work going on in terms of for buyers and users of market research, when they're looking to invest in a generative AI solution, what are the questions they should be asking? So how can they understand really what does this do? What does it do that's different to what we could do before? How does it work? How does it protect data? How does it protect privacy? And kind of enabling people to get a better understanding of what the solutions are and how they work. And, you know, I think when people start to get more knowledge, they start to get more comfortable. So I think initiatives like that are really needed and really positive. So I think, you know, I mean, this happens with every innovation, doesn't it? There's kind of early adopters. There are people who are laggards. There are people who are risk averse. But you know, kind of eventually everyone catches up. And I think initiatives such as the SMR one are going to be really helpful in that regard.
Mm. And I think those kind of initiatives are really important to show that this is something the industry is taking seriously as well. It's here to stay. It is an innovation, and it's going to change the way that teams are working. And we're starting to see that already, I guess.
Absolutely. I mean, I think, you know, and it's again, like an innovation, is different from every business. That there are some who are fully on that journey and are full speed ahead and have embraced it and are already doing things pretty differently to a year ago. There are others who are just starting out. There are others who haven't even started but are kind of looking around. But you know, that's one thing that's very noticeable to me is, you know, and encouraging that. Everyone's interested, right? I mean, you know, some people are very concerned, but you know, kind of people realize that this is changing what we do and how we work a lot, and they kind of you know, we need to give people the confidence that this is something that is going to help people get to better insight and get to better insight and speed.
And one of the most fascinating things to me is how fast it's happened. I mean, as a marketer, I guess you kind of say that to every innovation, but the real mainstream market research interest in AI really has been quite overwhelming in the past just 12 months. So I'm curious from your perspective, not just what the short term looks like, but what's your view on how it might start changing the industry long term?
Yeah, I mean, I think to your point in terms of how fast it moves, it's actually pretty hard to look too long term, because you know where we are now, I couldn't have predicted that 10 months ago. You know, and I think you know, to give an example, one, you know, in the last 3 to 6 months, one of the kind of, or probably the most noticeable thing I would say has been the emergence of synthetic data. And you know, you've probably seen there's been quite a lot of comment on LinkedIn the last couple of weeks since Mark Ritson published an article about synthetic data, and I think he compared the reaction of the market research industry to 19th century American railroad managers chomping on their cigars and trying to pretend change wasn't happening. But you know, and he kind of cited the case of running a perceptual map and you know, completely based on synthetic data, and it giving the same result as he'd seen from primary research data. So, you know, and I think it's really interesting, because that shows how generative AI is a threat to what the market research industry currently does, and I think we will see synthetic data become increasingly used and particularly be a threat to kind of more traditional quantitative research. But at the same time, you know, one of the really interesting things about generative AI is it creates threats and it creates opportunities. So I think while synthetic data will become a much bigger part of insight, I mean, inevitably it will be, because it is, yeah, it's so quick and it's virtually free. And even if it's not perfect, it will, for those reasons, be used. Mm-hmm. How does market research respond to that? And I may be proved wrong in this, but I struggle to kind of think how synthetic data can really give us the rich understanding that comes from speaking to real people about their lives in the moment, understanding the emotion, understanding the motivations, understanding the needs. And you know, for me, a lot of insight comes from that kind of really rich, deep understanding of the breadth and depth of human experience. And that's where generative AI, you know, kind of almost kind of full circle to where we started off and, you know, kind of talking about what we do at Inco. I think that's where it gives us a real opportunity as an industry is to get that really kind of deep human understanding at scale in a way we've never been able to do before. So I think actually, you know, for me, how does quantitative research respond to synthetic data? Well, it becomes more qual, and those distinctions start to go away. We're not talking quant or qual anymore. We're talking about a fusion of the two at scale.
I'm reminded at this point of a presentation from IIS 2015, maybe 2016, I can't remember. Okay. Where we actually ran an experiment, we called it man versus machine. We ran an experiment and it was one of the conclusions of that was this idea that the holy grail of research is qual at quantitative scale. And back then it was a very theoretical idea that would ever be possible. And, you know, it's fascinating to see less than a decade later, you know, here we are talking about the fact that it pretty much exists, that it is possible that we do have the technology to, you know, combined with the right researcher designed in the right way, get that really rich qualitative insight at much, much larger scales. So, yeah, I think it's a fascinating future.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I fully agree. And I think the other thing I would say about that is what I hope we will also see, and kind of, again, we touched on this earlier, is actually a reimagining of how the industry engages with participants, because, you know, there's a lot of issues with panel sample. You know, people talk about 20-30% of data being either, you know, bad actors or bots, and maybe even as much as 70% in B2B data. And clearly technology enables that to become more of a risk, and for more of panel data to become, you know, driven by bots, which, you know, click clearly is very problematic. But actually, I think if, as I expect, our methodologies are going to become more qual and quant together, and is really about getting deeper understanding from people at scale, then clearly we need to be very confident with speaking to real people. And I think for me, that then means that, you know, we need reward mechanisms and engagement with people who participate in the research that we do, that really, you know, gives more importance to them. You know, back to what we were saying before, you know, kind of verifies that, has systems in place that verifies that they're real, but actually makes them feel very valued, both through the experience we give them, but also in the way in which we reward them. And that for me is actually the way we beat the bots. So I think there could be a, you know, hopefully a win-win for the industry in terms of more engaged, better rewarded, more valued participants actually providing us with deeper insight.
Well, I, for one, am very excited to see that future. But I am afraid that does bring us to the end of today's episode. So, Phil, just before we go, what's the one thing you'd really like listeners to take away from today?
So I think, well, I said it before, actually, but I'll kind of repeat it, that the really exciting, yeah, seemingly paradoxical thing, but it's true, is that for market research, AI can actually make research more human.
Brain teaser for you all at home. Thank you so much for joining me today. It's been great to chat.
Yeah, thanks, Chris. No, Bob, I've enjoyed it. Thank you very much.
And thank you to everybody listening too. We'll be back next month with a brand new episode looking ahead to the future of market research. Until then, I've been your host, Chris Martin, and this has been the MRX Lab.